Fall is just around the corner, and home is the center of it all. At Ashley, seasonal decorating's a breeze with their range of designs and materials. Snuggle up on a family-friendly sectional or an ultra-modern sofa. Or gather outside and enjoy the crisp, cool air with a new fire pit or conversation set. From minor refreshes to total overhauls, Ashley has the essentials to make your home fall functional and fabulous. Shop in-store or visit ashley.com today.
Is that the new iPhone 15 Pro?
Oh yeah, it's made with titanium and the Pro camera is epic. Just got it at T-Mobile.
Nice.
Yeah, and I got their Go 5G Next plan, so now I have the freedom to upgrade my phone every year.
I gotta get to T-Mobile.
Take charge of your upgrades at T-Mobile.com.
Phone now via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. 1 year upgrade requires financing, qualifying device and upgrading in good condition after 6 months with half paid off.
It is really that time of the year again. It's really that time of the week again. It's really back. The NFL is really back. Man, I don't know that there are many days on the sports calendar, the annual sports calendar, that feature as much buzz and anticipation as this one, because we've had roughly 6 months to prepare for the first Sunday of the NFL season. And boy, it was worth the wait. I don't know what the NFL script writers are doing, but it was worth the wait. It was goofy. It was wacky. A little wild in spots. Boy, we had some rusty offenses. And I haven't gone through and counted the number of quarterback sacks, but it seemed like there were dozens in both conferences, in each round of games. QBs were under siege. So there's some offensive lines that still need a little work on their rhythm and their timing. None more than the New York Giants. Yeah, if that's what the NFL scriptwriters had in mind for our very first Sunday night game, I'm confused. In the rain, in the conditions, which actually was a major theme from week number one, it was a lopsided affair from the beginning. In the NFC Beast at MetLife Stadium, which is actually hosting back-to-back primetime games, Dallas didn't even need the offense, because the Giants provided plenty of pop and plenty of fuel for Dallas. And so we'll get to that game coming up here momentarily. But I hope you enjoyed it. We still have one more game to go. And our Monday night game is from the AFC East. It's the one you chose as the after hours game of the week. I don't know. You guys might have missed out. Chargers, Dolphins. For those of you who went for Miami and Los Angeles, you nailed it. And how about seeing what the Patriots did, first to fall into a big hole and then to climb out of it and nearly surprise the Philadelphia Eagles? While we're talking Pennsylvania teams, the Steelers had absolutely nothing for the visiting San Francisco 49ers. That was just as lopsided, even if the score didn't reflect a 40-0 shutout. That game was just as lopsided. So having the San Francisco 49ers come out in week number one and flex their muscles, I know after the first Sunday of the year, we're supposed to tap the brakes. We overreact to everything because we just have this small one-week sample size. But it is hard not to look at those Niners and think, wow, if they stay healthy, they are the team to beat. So we're going to get to all the games. That's our promise to you. Our very first Sunday night show of the season. We will get to every single game on the schedule. Boom. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Love for you to find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page. And then we also have a brand new Welcome Back NFL YouTube video. I know a bunch of you caught it over the last couple days. We decided that we would go way down the road and pick seven new teams for the NFL playoffs. Again, it's week number one. But that's what we do as sports fans, right? So again, find us on Twitter, Facebook, also our YouTube channel. You can subscribe to it. We'll have more videos coming up later this month. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. And we got a lot to get to. Coming up in just over 15 minutes, we will head to MetLife Stadium, just outside of New York City, across the Hudson River. Outkick senior NFL writer Armando Salguero was covering the Sunday night game between the Cowboys and the Giants. I saw him tweeting about churros at halftime, so maybe that's what we'll ask him about. Love to get your reaction to any of the games, but of course we want to start with the most recent. Remember last year, the NFC Beast had three teams that made it into the playoffs. And the Giants, in Brian Daboll's first season as head coach, he ends up as the coach of the year, they look like a revelation. Like they're just starting to put it all together. They even win a playoff game. Daniel Jones gets paid. Saquon Barkley, he ends up coming to terms with the team for what is $11 million this season. No slouch for a running back, though it wasn't what he wanted. The Giants are supposed to improve on last season. Meanwhile, the Dallas Cowboys, who had double-figure wins, made some major changes on offense. Kellen Moore, now with the Chargers as their OC. Mike McCarthy back to calling plays like he did earlier in his Green Bay days. There's no more Ezekiel Elliott. Tony Pollard is the feature back. But regardless of what changes took place on the offensive side of the ball, we knew the defense would be a force. Dan Quinn decided to stay in Dallas. Once again, did not leave, stayed with the Cowboys. I'm sure he was paid handsomely, but felt some loyalty to Dallas and wanting to finish what they started after they also got a playoff win last year, but then came up short of the NFC Championship. So a lot of intrigue going into this Sunday night football game, wondering how this rivalry would look after a couple of months of not just buildup, but preparation, right? It's the first game of the year, which means there's a lot of preparation that goes into being ready for this one game. Although you got to admit, the first touchdown of the game, well, that was a little bit of instinct and a whole lot of reaction.
Try a 45-yard field goal from the left hash. And that ball is mishandled. Blocked and picked up by the Cowboys defender on the right sideline. It is Noah Igbinoghi, and he runs it in for a touchdown for Dallas.
Jones in the gun, takes the snap, back to pass. Rush coming again, throws short left, caught by Barkley. Hit ball pops up, taken out of the air by the Cowboys, and it's going back for a touchdown. It was Deron Bland. He had five interceptions a year ago. This one popped up into the air, out of the hands of Barkley. Trayvon Diggs with the hit, and the Cowboys score again.
From the Cowboys Radio Network with Brad Sham, and then on the Westwood One Radio Network with Ryan Rucco, you kind of get the sense. It was lopsided from the beginning. Dallas has a special teams touchdown midway through the first to kick off what is a barrage. Anytime you can primarily play special teams and come up with a score, Noah Igbinoghi, oh yeah, blocked field goal that goes 58 yards. For a 6-0 lead, because of course there has to be a missed PAT initially. Why not? And then late in the first quarter, it's the defense. Deron Bland with the pick six off Daniel Jones. The second Jones interception, I can hear the critics now, produces a short field and a short touchdown drive for Dallas. And even without Dak Prescott letting it fly, using his receivers, They got exactly what they wanted from their offensive line and from their newly christened running back one, or RB1.
Lines up under center, takes the snap. He'll pitch it to Pollard, racing right, looking for a seam. Cuts back, finds the end zone. Touchdown, Cowboys. A 2-yard touchdown run for Tony Pollard, and the Cowboys extend the lead, now up 25-0 here in the second quarter.
Second down, I formation, Pollard handoff, walk the dog. Everything sealed off to the inside. Tony Pollard walked the dog and scored his second touchdown of the night.
I suppose that franchise tag, which will earn him more than $10 million this season, is already well earned. Pair of touchdowns for Tony Pollard. Remember last year, whatever it is that the Cowboys gave him to do, he would do it 110%. He earned this opportunity. Now, if he can stay healthy, he will be a major force behind the Cowboys' offensive line. You know, the Cowboys didn't even have 300 yards of offense. They didn't need to. And yet they blasted the Giants 40-0. They actually shut them out 40-0. That's hard to do, especially on the first night of the season. What impressed me about the Cowboys' offense, because the defense is dynamic, we know that. What impressed me about the offense is not so much the flashy plays or the new connections or even wrinkles from Mike McCarthy now that he's calling plays and is giving Dak a little more freedom and autonomy. Well, not autonomy, authority over the offense. What impressed me is that while Daniel Jones was getting pummeled, 7 sacks, another 12 hits on Daniel Jones, he was very rarely lonely in the backfield. In fact, he was very rarely standing in a pocket because the pocket would collapse so quickly. But what impressed me about the Cowboys and their quarterback is that he didn't get sacked. He didn't turn the ball over. If the Cowboys can play like this, and I don't mean the 40 points. Of course, again, the defense is going to be great. We know this. It's built with superstars. But if the offense can protect Dak Prescott, run the ball, and not turn it over, this is a team that will be tough to beat. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Yeah, started with that block field goal return for a touchdown in the first quarter.
Just the way we played, and it's nice when you see the players, you know, emphasize and you see it exercised in practice and carried over to the field. You know, I thought the defense and the block field goal got it started, and you know, and it really never stopped.
Great team win, and like you said, it starts with the defense. Really starts with special teams. I mean, starting with the block field goal that turns into a touchdown, and then just the defense then just creating turnovers and giving us a couple of touchdown lead, and then just allowing them to go feast.
Dallas goes 3-for-4 in the red zone, but I thought feast was a Zeke thing. Apparently now it's a Tony Pollard thing and a Dallas defense thing. So what about working with Mike McCarthy on the play calling?
We've had opportunities at practice, whether it be 2-minute, whether it just be put the ball down, call it plays, whether it be the red zone drill, where I understood his flow. I understood his tempo, how he got things in the plays, and his purpose in it, as I talked about all spring. And that goes just honestly to our communication.
Dallas Cowboys off and running with quite a statement. And the fact that it's an NFC East win is significant. When you can start out this way with a division win, it gives you great confidence, especially in the conditions. MetLife Stadium is just 15 minutes south of where I live, and it's soggy. Just take my word for it. It's humid, and it's soggy. As for the New York Giants, it's almost unfair to ask Brian Daboll what went wrong, because I think it would be easier to answer the question of what went right.
Tough loss, a disappointing loss. Got beat all the way around from coaching to playing. I accept that. Got a lot to learn from, a lot to work on, and that's what we'll do. No excuses. Give credit to Dallas. They just did everything better than we did tonight.
Just didn't execute. We didn't execute. We dug a hole for ourselves early on, and our execution was poor throughout the game. I gotta make better decisions and put put us in situations where we can be successful.
That's football. We got to do a better job. Sorry, myself and the leaders. I've stopped, stop the leak and stop the bleeding. And we didn't do that. Can't go down like that to a team of that caliber.
Saquon Barkley says that's football. And I suppose it is. You play long enough. If you're privileged to play long enough, you're going to be in some real stinkers. But did you know this was history for the Cowboys? Largest margin of victory in any shutout loss in their entire history. They've never beat a team 40 to nothing. They've never beat a team like this in a shutout. Yes, it's just 1 week. No, it doesn't carry over. But man, that offensive line has got to figure it out. Daniel Jones won't survive. Him and his fat contract, they'll be worth a whole lot of nothing on the sidelines if he keeps getting pummeled like that.
We got into one of those games as the game went on where we were throwing the ball and they knew we had to throw the ball. We're down a bunch. Have to look at the tape for some of the stuff.
No, don't.
Obviously it wasn't good enough. No area was good enough tonight, from protection to coaching to running to tackling, whatever it may be, you name it, wasn't good enough.
Brian Daboll, he's the kind who will get in his quarterback's face. He's the kind who will rip his guys a new one regardless of how much money they make. I can imagine it's going to be a lot of fun in their early week film session. Yeah, the NFL scriptwriters came up with a doozy to kick off Sunday nights. I mean, that's just wrong. Your first Sunday night in the pouring down rain, MetLife Stadium, one of the great rivalries in the NFC, and 40 to nothing. So we're going to talk about it with Armando Salguero of OutKick, who was there eating churros at halftime. We'll ask him about the snacks. Love to hear from you about week one in the NFL. We have so much to get to. The rookie quarterbacks who made their debuts. Jordan Love, who starts a new era in Green Bay, and there's a lot of smiles. Tua is back. Baker is back. Are you kidding me, Baker Mayfield? Stop it. I can't wait till he starts smacking guys with his helmet again. I'm just happy. I'm so happy. I love NFL Sundays.
Hey, I'm happy to be home, man. Yeah. Yeah. Come on! Rams on three. 1, 2, 3. Rams!
I mean, he's not with the Rams anymore. Don't sell Baker Mayfield short. He earned this starting job in Tampa.
Hello.
And Tampa's now 1-0. What do you think about them apples? By the way, Micah Parsons tweeted after the game against the Giants, y'all thought this was a game? With the eyeball emoji. Hashtag doomsday. Oh. Huh. I mean, if you don't like it, Giants, well then don't get smacked.
We ain't talking about the game.
Don't get your rear ends handed to you 40 to nothing. Oh my God.
Walk the dogs, school drop off, meetings from 10 to 3, take kids to soccer, then no time left for a jog.
When everyone else is relying on you, it's easy to put your needs last. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online, so you can show up for yourself the way you do for others. Visit betterhelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/positive.
Facts are facts, like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, according to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
I'm here to tell you about Pom Pom at Home, where comfort meets elegance.
PomPom at Home is offering 20% off site-wide for a limited time. See why so many of the top designers use PomPom's luxury easy care bedding. They have created a timeless, beautiful, coastal living look that incorporates subtle tones and natural fibers, offering a unique touch. Create your dream bed now. Get 20% off sheets, duvets, throws, and more right now at PomPomAtHome.com. Easy to use, easy to love luxury bedding. Just enter code POMPOM at checkout.
You did it, along with millions of people who prioritized their health and got vaccinated against COVID-19 to help protect against severe illness and hospitalization, too. Now, let's keep it up.
Keep it up!
With this season's updated COVID-19 shot designed to help protect against recent variants. According to the CDC, you can get a COVID shot at the same visit as your flu shot if you're due for both. Ask your doctor or pharmacist to learn more and schedule on the CDC's vaccines.gov.
Keep it up!
Sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech.
Gosh. Welcome back, NFL. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Remember, these teams are going to see each other again later in the year. You'd like to really put the exclamation point on the statement. Here's a toss to Turpin, running left, outside the numbers, cuts up across the five. Turpin diving to the end zone, and he's in for the touchdown. Kevontae Turpin takes the toss, runs left, and dives into the end zone, a 7-yard touchdown run, and it's now 39-0 Dallas with 11:31 remaining.
Huge first road game, first road win. First division game, first division win, all of that's important. First game of the season, do all of that. Understand that we've got to play these guys again.
Take the first step. We accomplished that tonight. You know, I think just like anything, you know, it was our first game, live game together. So, you know, then you had the weather factor in. So a lot of good things tonight.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
Dak Prescott and Mike McCarthy not gloating, at least not in front of the microphone, but Micah Parsons certainly was on Twitter. Yeah, this was a bloodbath from the beginning, not just the rain that was running, but also the Giants getting their rear ends dragged all over the field. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. That's how the NFL scriptwriters drew up the first Sunday night game of the season. Whew. Let's hope they've got something more competitive in store moving forward. We are pleased to welcome Armando Salguero from OutKick, who was there sampling the churros at halftime. I need to know whether or not you put whipped cream on your churros, Armando.
No, I did not use the whipped cream on the churros, especially the whipped cream that comes out of a can, like an aerosol spray. And I definitely didn't use the chocolate either, if that's what you're asking. Mm. So I kept the calories down to 5 billion.
Well, you had to have something to keep you entertained. I thought it was really funny that people kept asking the Giants what went wrong, when what I really wanted to know from Brian Daboll is what went right. So seriously, did anything go right for the Giants?
Not much. I mean, you fumble it 5 times. Let me put it to you this way. Let's find the thing that went right. They fumbled it 5 times. They only lost one, the first one. So they steadily improved in not bumbling it to the point of losing possession.
Oh, my gosh.
How's that?
All right. That's good. I like the creativity. So what impressed you the most about the Cowboys then?
Well, their defense is just it comes at you in waves. You know, they've always had playmakers in DeMarcus Lawrence, and Diggs has been now a 3- or 4-year veteran and someone that they count on. But now Steve, you know, they've got Stephon Gilmore there, and he had an interception. And Micah Parsons is getting better, if that's possible. They're coming at people in multiple ways. Amy, they had 7 sacks tonight by 5 people. So it's not like it's a one-man show. It's pretty impressive. Dan Quinn, the defensive coordinator, had been talking about how that is a defense that was steadily improving throughout training camp. Micah Parsons talked about how he could see it in training camp where every day there was tangible improvement. Yeah, okay, I get it. You know, I get it. It was ugly, and I'd rather not be Daniel Jones tonight.
No doubt he's got some bumps and some bruises. Now, on the flip side for Dallas, I know the offense wasn't necessary, I guess. They didn't really have to be great on offense, so kind of a soft place to land. There was a great margin for error. But no turnovers, no sacks, a couple of rushing touchdowns. Man, that offensive line also looks really good.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It was, you know, it was crappy weather for everybody, right? and so the Giants are fumbling the ball. The Cowboys weren't. The Giants are throwing it to the wrong color, uniform. The Cowboys weren't. There was no real mistakes by the Cowboys that you could just go, aha, aha. That's going to be, a problem going forward if they don't address it. I don't see a problem going forward if they don't address it. I mean, new problems may crop up, but there weren't a lot that showed themselves tonight. They ran the ball late in the game when they needed to run the ball, and the Giants knew that they wanted to run the ball. Tony Pollard finished with 70 yards on 14 carries. Let me see, doing quick math. That's 5 yards a carry. That's pretty good. And the whole deal with Dak has been don't throw interceptions. Dak, don't throw interceptions. Dak, don't throw interceptions. Dak didn't throw an interception.
He didn't.
So, one down, 16 to go.
Just out of curiosity, Armando, are you staying for the Monday night game between the Bills and the Jets?
Absolutely. I'm double dipping in New York, rather, East Rutherford. But yes. Whatever, I'm going to call it New York.
I wonder if they'll recycle the churros that didn't get eaten tonight.
Well, I can guarantee you, and I know firsthand, they all got eaten.
Oh, okay. You were monitoring. You had nothing else to watch, so you were monitoring churros.
Yes.
Armando Salguero is in the New York City area, actually not that far from our CBS Sports Radio headquarters, and will be there for Bills and Jets on Monday. He's covering the NFL for OutKick again this year. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. The San Francisco 49ers definitely flex their muscles. Also a lopsided affair against Pittsburgh. What stood out about the Niners, who just got Nick Bosa back and just got Brock Purdy back?
Right. So what stood out is that the preseason doesn't matter.
Except if you're like, the Bengals.
Yeah. Seriously. It's like it was a non-factor in this game. All preseason long, we heard that the Pittsburgh Steelers were having a great camp, that, obviously T.J. Watt not injured, not unsigned, having a great camp. Kenny Pickett actually had a perfect preseason. I believe his quarterback rating for the preseason was 158.3.
Come on.
And it doesn't get better than that.
No.
That's the max. That's the perfect quarterback rating. And meanwhile, on the other side of the coin, the 49ers are dealing with the Trey Lance saga. And is he happy or not? Is he going to be the backup or not? What's going on there? And then he's traded. And they're dealing with the Brock Purdy injury situation where he's on a pitch count. Up until last week, by the way, on a pitch count because he had the UCL surgery in the elbow, and he was still, in the middle of the whole program. And they had Nick Bosa unsigned up until, Wednesday. And so they were team drama and stuff not all fully together in the preseason. The Steelers were 3-0 in the preseason and perfect quarterback guy. And the 49ers just demolished them today. It wasn't, right. You know, it was like an early version of tonight.
I did like the fact that TJ Watt, though, had three sacks. I mean, serving notice that he is ready to go. He and Nick Bosa actually may end up vying. Well, maybe Micah Parsons, too, could end up vying for that Defensive Player of the Year award. Just the way that they came out of the gate roaring was really impressive. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. We had three rookie quarterbacks make their debuts. I'm not sure how much you saw of them, Armando, but is there one that impressed you, or is there one that you think maybe got his rookie mistakes out there?
Well, I mean, they kind of all got their rookie mistakes out there, and I don't believe they're done. You know, it's going to be a long season in my estimation for those three guys. And that's not because they're not good players. It's because they're rookie NFL quarterbacks and they all have a lot to learn. Even, you know, the number one overall pick, Bryce Young, even the third of them that only played 13 college games, Anthony Richardson, all those guys are going to have some moments that are going to make you cringe this year. And I don't believe that the Indianapolis Colts or the Carolina Panthers or the Houston Texans are thinking, oh my gosh, our quarterbacks are not winning games for us. We made a mistake. What they're looking for is a little bit of development and a little bit of improvement. And this year is about, you know, getting your foundation under you as a rookie quarterback, and then mattering and doing those other things like thinking about winning games for teams, you know, in the coming years.
I know that you are a Florida guy and you spent time covering the Florida teams previously, now with Outkick, of course, as a senior NFL writer. But the Tua storyline since he got into the NFL is fascinating. It's had some highs, it's had some lows. He spent this offseason trying to make sure he could withstand hits, but also to learn how not to get hit so he wouldn't suffer more concussions. And then he goes out in week number one and chucks the ball for, oh my gosh, nearly 500 yards. Just amazing performance by him and the connection with Tyreek Hill. How confident are you in Tua in 2023, Armando?
Well, I'm really confident when he's throwing the ball to Tyreek Hill, because Tyreek Hill is just, you know, he's vying for, you know, he's already the fastest guy in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to be the best wide receiver in the NFL. And it's going to be hard to argue against him. I mean, I know that there are a lot of great wide receivers in the NFL. I understand that. Justin Jefferson and 15 other guys. But Tyreek Hill is just, he's another level of fast, another level of dynamic. And I think he went off for 215 receiving yards today. And the thing about Hill is that when he gets open immediately. And that is very important to the Miami Dolphins offense, because they don't have a great offensive line. They do rely on a lot of timing, and a lot of it is two steps and throw. And that's the way that the Chargers were not able, you know, to get to Tua. That's the way that they want to run their offense. And with Tyreek Hill, he's a perfect fit, because do what you will, but he's going to get open and he's going to do it in a blink of an eye at the snap of the ball. And that protects Tua Tagovailoa. Everybody says that, you know, the Dolphins will be fine if Tua is durable and plays all the games. And that's true, because in the past, he hasn't been able to do that, and that's been the biggest question mark about him going all the way back to Alabama. Well, if he's taking two steps and throwing the football, chances are pretty good that he's probably going to not get hit nearly as often
right,
as, you know, most quarterbacks, and that raises his chances of not getting hurt.
We have seen a bunch of quarterbacks change teams, not just the rookies who are now starting, but Baker Mayfield in Tampa. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers, who you will see. I love this AFC East. It's stacked, too. It's going to be so dramatic this year. But how about Jordan Love? Do you think they've forgotten about Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay already?
No. They haven't forgotten about
it. Not yet?
Let's wait until maybe next week. Okay? I mean, that was 17 years of pretty good, quarterback play by Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. One game by Jordan Love does not erase it all. But how annoying is it going to be for the rest of the NFC North if the Packers go from Hall of Famer to Hall of Famer to now Jordan Love? Off on a great, on a great footing to the start of his career as the starter. It's like, what? I mean, it's been 30 years. Can they find a bad quarterback and play that guy for a while?
Maybe. We'll see. You told me just to pump the brakes there on week number one. So fine. Maybe I'll pump the brakes just a little. Armando, before I let you go, is there something else? Or I won't say is there. What else jumps out at you about week number one?
Well, I mean, we're gonna see the master tomorrow, right?
The master.
And we're gonna see if the master is actually the master when he's playing at 39 years old, and I'm talking about Aaron Rodgers, and his left tackle is 38 years old, and his right tackle is young but hasn't played. But maybe two games in the last two seasons. That's a question mark, because 39-year-old quarterbacks don't like to get hit, and 38-year-old left tackles and durability problem right tackle is not the formula for keeping your 39-year-old quarterback from getting hit. So my guess is that the Buffalo Bills will decide, let's see if Aaron Rodgers likes to get hit or not. And they'll do things that might, put Aaron under some duress. And either he'll respond by just, destroying their blitz like he has been able to do in the past, or he'll shrink from the problem because he's getting hit. Mm. That's the way you beat old quarterbacks.
Old.
You hit them.
That's how you beat the old dudes. You beat them. You actually beat them.
Like a drum? Yeah, that's it. I was going with the racehorse thing.
No, don't do that. That's politically incorrect. Yeah, don't do that. Well, I would like you to know, I just checked the forecast because I live about 15 minutes north of MetLife Stadium. I know it's been soggy, but the rain is supposed to be gone by the time Monday Night Football kicks off. So maybe you'll have churros and dry weather, or maybe the Jets will come up with a different snack, like cupcakes at halftime.
Oh, goody. So my walk from the parking lot to the press box will be, dry instead of, me arriving there like a wet dog going, give me a towel.
Give me a towel. Well, just make sure you take the stairs if you're going to be eating all these halftime snacks. No elevator.
I'm going to take the stairs up to the press box, which is like in the third ring of heaven.
It is. It definitely is. I tell you what, the last time I went to MetLife, it was the 2020 season, and there were no fans, as in not even one. It was so eerily quiet. It was like Armageddon had happened, or the rapture, one or the other. And it was not something I ever wanted to experience again. But I'm glad that there'll be a lot of fans there and a fun atmosphere on Monday night. So Armando is sticking around. You want to find him on Twitter at Armando Salguero. And he is one of our favorites. He's staying up late with us tonight, covering the NFL for Outkick. You can also see him on Fox News. Always good to catch up with you. We will talk again soon, Armando. Happy NFL season.
All right, Amy. Always a pleasure talking to you. Always your pleasure talking to me, too.
Absolutely. I wouldn't doubt that. I wouldn't dispute that or doubt that. Yes.
Talk to you later.
Bye. He's a goof. I love that he always, like me, laughs at his own well, laughs at his own jokes, but also laughs at his own foibles. So Armando is good people. Find him on Twitter. Really good stuff. He's always got great insight and learn something from him. And yeah, churros and cupcakes would be not a bad 1-2 punch. Okay, so we're running a little bit behind on this segment to get to more with Armando. But coming up, what about the Jordan Love era in Green Bay? It is underway. And also the Niners with a statement in week number one because Brock and Bosa are back, baby. It's After Hours with Amy.
What's up, everybody? I'm Danny Parkins, based out of Chicago. This is my buddy Andrew Filippone. He's based out of Pittsburgh. You really got to check out our podcast, First and Pod.
Twice a week, we're going to break down the NFL after Thursday Night Football and Sunday Night Football. It's every team. It's every game. It's all 32 teams. We give you a complete picture, and we get into it. We don't kiss each other's fannies on this show.
New episodes of First and Pod available when you wake up every Monday and Friday morning throughout the football season in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, well, well. Shopping for a car?
Yep. Carvana made financing a car as smooth as can be.
Oh, yeah?
I got pre-qualified instantly and had real terms personalized just for me.
Doesn't get much smoother than that.
Well, I got to browse thousands of car options on Carvana, all within my budget.
Doesn't get much smoother than that.
It does. I actually wanted a car that seemed out of my range, but I was able to add a cosigner and found my dream car.
It doesn't get much...
Oh, it gets smoother. It's getting delivered tomorrow.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to get pre-qualified today.
Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Snap to Love, looks the end zone, pump fakes, throws late, touchdown, Romeo Doubs on the post. They beat Eddie Jackson with Romeo Doubs, and after a pump fake, a laser right to the post, and the Packers lead 6-0.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
A whole lot of smiles in Chicago, and not from the hometown Bears or their fans. Nah, the smiles seemed almost entirely on the side of Green Bay, except for Aaron Jones. Some concern about Aaron Jones after he runs for a catch and run for a touchdown and pulls up with what appeared to be a hammy. Now, I hope it was just a cramp, but that will be the big news that they await in Green Bay coming up on Monday, even as the Jordan Love era begins with 3 touchdowns, 245 passing yards, no turnovers, and just 1 sack behind the Green Bay offensive line. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. It was actually the defense for the Packers that started with a 4th down stop against Justin Fields and the Bears at midfield. And because they had then a shorter distance to go, Romeo Doubs with his first touchdown to get the Packers on the board. And then they really go heavy Aaron Jones after that. He has, on their touchdown drive to start the 3rd quarter, 4 rushes, a 51-yard catch and run, and it was really efficient. I mean, this is a team that for so long had the attention hog of Aaron Rodgers. And I'm not saying he asked for it, though sometimes he does, but he would suck all the attention out of the area and really out of the NFC North. But Aaron Jones is still there, and Aaron Jones is a versatile back. He's fast, obviously can catch the ball as well as take it out of the backfield. So again, we'll wait to see about the hamstring, but he's a guy that as a weapon now for Jordan Love can really, even more so, come into his own and start to get attention. Though it wasn't, what, two years ago that he had a 20-touchdown season? I mean, maybe it was longer ago than that. But he's been a great weapon for the Packers to this point. Now maybe he'll get some of the attention that he deserves. You also had a Quay Walker pick six that was really the nail in the coffin for Chicago. And so the Packers put up 28 points in the second half. And this is Jordan Love's first taste as a starter of the rivalry with the Bears.
Obviously my first game in this rivalry. So obviously first half was close and second half, the way we bounced back and came out there in second half and just total domination, felt good.
You have to be resilient, and you can't allow one play to affect the next play.
And we always talk about having a one-play mindset, and I think he's a resilient guy. I was really proud of his effort, his composure, his competitiveness. But I thought, all in all, I couldn't be more proud of just his performance, his poise. There's a big-time belief in that locker room for Jordan Love. And I think the guys, they're going to rally around him.
He balled, man. He balled. And just, I mean, we've seen it every day. We've seen it every day, and it's all credit to him, man. It's all credit to the work that he put in. It's all credit to how he prepared.
Yeah, no doubt. Kenny Clark, Matt LaFleur, to a man. In that visiting locker room at Soldier Field, they were singing the praises of Jordan Love. And I'm glad to see it. Yes, Aaron Jones had 127 yards and a couple of touchdowns, so he deserves a ton of credit. Justin Fields scampering all over the place when he had the room. But this is 9 straight wins by the Packers over the Bears. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.